From the Big Heavy World Studios in Burlington, Vermont, this is the Anything Show with John Francois. I hope you know what you're in for.
Let's do this. It's Saturday, February 27th, as we record this. John Francois here at the Big Heavy World Studios in Burlington, Vermont. My partner in crime, Main Squeeze Mary, is celebrating her mom's birthday this weekend. So filling in for her from Brooklyn, New York, she's on Skype right now. It is actress, TikTok and OnlyFans cosplay extraordinaire, and the host of the Black Hole Sun podcast, Maciel Hernandez. Hi, Maciel. Yay! We got a great show coming up with me and Maciel. Well, first of all, later on in the show, in the last half hour of the show, I'm going to be speaking with mental wellness coach Archie the Feelings Guy Messer Smith Bunting, the most awesome name ever. I know, right? In our celebrity gossip, me and Maciel, we're going to tell you which NBA star is mesmerized by Irish accents. For our Let's Get Viral segment, our viral videos of the week, we're going to find out what it sounds like to name your kid after the COVID-19 pandemic. For our Ask Anything segment, we're going to ask you, how long do you keep driving your car once you notice the check engine light on? And for our headline segment, which is coming up in just a second, me and Maciel, we got to get into this OnlyFans nude models kids getting kicked out of Catholic school of all schools. You can listen to the Anything Show with John Francois on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Like and follow us on Facebook.com/TheAnythingShow and Instagram at Anything Show Francois. That's Anything Show, FRANCOIS. I am selling Anything Show with John Francois shot glasses and keychains. Maciel got hers recently. And if you could DM me on Facebook or Instagram if you're interested, I'd love to hear from you. All right, Maciel, I got all the homework out of the way. Shall we get to our headlines?
That's a lot. That was a good intro.
I know. It's exhausting. I feel like I should, like, that should be the show. Like, it's just the introduction, and then I go home and go to bed. All right, let's get to our headlines. Yeah, okay, we got to start with this woman in California who makes... I mean, my God, Maciel, this woman in California, she makes $150,000 a month from her nude...
I believe.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. From her nude photos and videos on OnlyFans. Some other parents at her kid's Catholic school found out, and now all three of her kids have been expelled. Now, first of all, Maciel, I'm sure she ironically has a Catholic school girl outfit somewhere, this woman who does... her thing on OnlyFans. Now, second, I gotta say, I mean, leave it to Catholics to not mind their own business. Like, there's nothing in this story that says kids gain access to the mom's OnlyFans. I feel like there is a way to keep these adult matters separate from the lives of innocent children. And it sounds like the mom is just doing that. Like, I just feel like these are just judgmental parents with too much time on their hands. I mean, what do you think? Because you actually have an OnlyFans account, Maciel. So what's your take on this story?
Heard this story recently on Wendy Williams of all places, and she was talking about it. Like, there was someone, one of her, she lives in a small town in California.
Yeah.
And one of her neighbors or some, one of the parents of the school was on OnlyFans. Ironic. Okay. No one talks about him, of course. And he started like printing out her photos and apparently handing it out to parents and stuff, or sending it to parents.
What?
I don't know which. Yeah. Like, he like exposed her, like sent it out. And so then it came to the attention of the school, and then they expelled the boys. But she's, at this point, she's living her life. And I saw some of those photos because they showed them online, and it's very tasteful. Her husband took those photos. It's not like any kind of like crazy, because OnlyFans can go so many directions. It could go like super X-rated, or it could be kind of tame and vanilla. And her stuff, I saw the photos and I was like, that's it?
Whatever. I mean, it's not like this woman is being canceled by OnlyFans. So as you say, at the end of the day,
she's making money. They're not going to cancel her. She's making the money, and they get their percentage of what you make. So, you know, it's 20% of whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're making the money.
Exactly. Okay. So the woman is making three figures, and the judgmental parents are still making what, like $15,000 a year at McDonald's? I don't know. The woman's getting the upper hand right now.
She looks amazing, and she's making her money. Jealousy. It's all jealousy. That's how I see it.
So. You know what I'm also jealous about? I'm jealous about this tiny house movement that's happening right now from IKEA. So IKEA, they're actually getting on the tiny house movement. They're actually selling 187 square foot tiny houses with built-in furniture and a small kitchen and bathroom, all for just $47,550. Unlike other IKEA stuff, Maciel, you don't have to build them yourself. Now, this is the dream for me, Maciel, because I am kind of getting tired of renting from apartment to apartment because, you know, my mom will always be the one to tell me, hey, invest in a house. You're just throwing your money away by renting. And I just feel like this is the perfect thing because it's a tiny house that I can easily move around everywhere. My main issue with investing in a house is, I'm not sure if I want to stay in a particular place for a long amount of time, which is why I've been renting. So how about having this little portable trailer sized house that I can move in a suitcase around the world? And, you know, if I want to be in Jamaica one day and Portsmouth, Oregon the other day, I could do that. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. So I myself have gone down a tiny house kind of rabbit hole. Ooh. On YouTube. So there is all kinds of tiny houses. What you're saying is something that's possible. Like, there is one particular show from New Zealand where people literally take old school buses and make them into tiny houses.
Really?
It's incredible. Incredible what people do. I've seen a couple that are super expensive to just basically just a big minivan just souped up with all the necessities. But yeah, no, I feel the same way living in Brooklyn. I mean, come on now. It's, you know, I'm grateful for where I live at, but it's at the end of the day, you don't want to you're just paying off, it's not an investment. You're just paying rent.
So more on that story when me and Maciel actually invest in the tiny houses from IKEA. We'll let you know. Something that I definitely want to invest in, Maciel, this next headline on the Anything Show. I want to invest in Irish nuns, because Irish nuns, if they could be as awesome as these two nuns, then I might join a convent. I really want there to be male nuns just so I could do this. These two nuns in Ireland were busted breaking COVID quarantine rules when they traveled more than 125 miles to attend an exorcism. Yes, they were trying to get the devil out of somebody's body. And they broke COVID-19 rules along the way. Now, I don't know. I mean, can we be less concerned about the COVID rules and more concerned about the fact that they were going to perform an exorcism? Is that something that is done in the 21st century still?
Luck of the Irish. But, I mean, what can you say? I mean, I love a good Irish son. I went to Catholic school, so I understand the mouth about the
Oh my God, you're breaking out, Maciel. You're breaking my heart. What did you say? Say that one more time.
I said they probably do a really good exorcism, so.
Yeah,
there
yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Irish nuns, please call me and let's have a conversation. I'm not going to perform an exorcism with you, but at the very least, I want to have some drinks. And also, you know what? In addition to the Irish nuns, let me have a dinner with the Irish nuns and this 105-year-old woman that made the news. Did you hear about this next headline here, Maciel? Woo! Okay, this 105-year-old woman, she beat COVID, and she says, because we always have to do this when someone lives 200 years old, what's your secret to living this long? The 105-year-old woman said she beat COVID. She says her secrets to living 105 years and surviving a pandemic, prayer, no junk food, and eating 9 gin-soaked raisins every day. You know, this is it is disgusting. Thank you. I mean, I always feel like with these 100-year-old people, when they make the news and they say what's their secret to living this long, it's always some weird crap I just ate one boiled egg, 2 glasses of tequila, a piece of a chair, sunflower seeds, you know, hand sanitizer. It's always some weird mixture of stuff.
Why gin? Because I could see raisins being soaked in bourbon. That sounds a little better.
Yeah.
But why gin?
I don't know. I think because gin is alcohol. Alcohol is in hand sanitizer. Alcohol is in hydrogen peroxide. Alcohol is an element. Yeah, alcohol is known to really do away with... Yeah, yeah. Clean out bacteria, germs. I think that's the connection. So basically, if you drink yourself silly, you are going to live until 200 years old. And you know what? That's perfect because you could drink yourself silly with some anything show with Jean-Francois shot glasses. Huh? Yeah.
I wish I had my shot glass closed. I don't know where I put it.
Maciel, just because you had an anything show with Jean-Francois shot glass, you are automatically going to live until 325,000 years old. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't drink alcohol. I've been using your shot glass to store my quarters for laundry, so...
Okay, fine. So if you want to be an alcoholic or store your laundromat quarters, then the anything show with Jean-Francois shot glasses are for you. Hey, it's a healthier habit than alcohol, so I applaud you for that. All righty, that is our headlines right here on the Anything Show. And if you have a headline that you want to share with me, facebook.com/theanythingshow. You can also get at me on Instagram at Anything Show Francois. That's at Anything Show FRANCOIS. All right. If you're just joining us, John Francois here at the Big Heavy World Studios in Burlington, Vermont. My partner in crime, Main Squeeze Mary, she's away celebrating her mom's birthday this weekend. Filling in for her so graciously, Maciel Hernandez, wonderful actress. She's on TikTok. She's on OnlyFans doing her cosplay stuff. She's the host of the Black Hole Sun podcast, where you can find it anywhere you get podcasts. So Maciel and I are having a great time on the show, and we're going to get into the listener. Because the listeners are always important with their voices. We're going to answer your question right here on this segment we called Ask Anything. Okay, Maciel, let's see. On my personal Facebook page, and you can get at me on Facebook, Jean-Francois, J-O-N, space F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. I asked, when the check engine light comes on, how long do you keep driving before you take your car to the shop? Maciel, what about you? What's your answer to that?
Never.
Wow.
I have a subway. I live in New York, so I would say never, because I've actually never owned a car.
Oh my god.
I can drive, but I don't have a license, if you know what I mean.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's the sort of the contrast of New York. You're spending like $5,000 on an apartment, but hey, at least you don't have to spend money on a car and worry about like parking fees and all that crap. Yeah.
No, I don't have a car. But I would say that you just keep driving until it stops. And then you're like, oh crap, I should have paid attention to the signs.
Right.
Oh, damn.
Right. All right. So I'm asking people on Facebook, when the check engine light comes on, how long do you keep driving before you take your car to the shop? Zach says, I will let you know when I go in. It's been on for 4 days now. All right. Rest in peace to your car, Zach. Carrie says to take the car someplace like AutoZone and have them plug it into the reader and tell you what it says. Jonathan says, as long as it takes, as long as that car can survive with the check engine light on, let it go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, keep driving until it stops. You're like, well, crap, I should have done something about it. No, just keep driving. Just push it. Take it to AutoZone one day after you pushed it.
Okay. So you're basically asking, you and Jonathan are basically asking for a big blow-up incident on the highway. Thank you. Thank you for trying to destroy my car.
Worried about it.
You're not worried about it? Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah, you're not worried about it because it's not your car, Maciel. But okay. So Tat says, it depends. Tat says, how are your fluid levels? Is there something you can hear that's noticeably wrong? If fluid levels are good and nothing is noticeably amiss, then you can push it. Heather says to check the gas cap. Ernest says, depends on what codes come up. Craig says, if it starts flashing, stop. That's what I've been getting. Like, if the check engine light keeps flashing, stop it. But if it's solid, then you're good for like another 25 years.
Oh, okay.
Right. Glenn says, go to the auto parts store. They'll do a diagnostic test for free. Of course. Melissa also says, get a diagnostic. Alora says, if it's flashing, pull over ASAP. Shannon says she's been going on 6 years with her check engine light on. So Shannon, you are pushing your luck, because I feel like the moment you say, oh my God, it's been going on 6 years, it's great, that might be the moment where, you know, the crap hits the fan.
Like, done. Like, I'm kidding, by the way. If anybody's watching this, I'm kidding. Please go and take care of your car.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding. But, 6 years.
Oh, God, that's kind of fuzzy. Ruth says, if you cannot get the check engine light turned off, do what my uncle did and put a Band-Aid over it. Oh, okay, so to pretend that it doesn't exist. Yeah, put a Band-Aid over the check engine light. Okay, great, my car's in perfect condition. Oh,
great
Ruth.
Idea.
And Ruth, mind you, is an adult mom, so that's a very responsible answer to give. Alyssa says, until my car is due for service, Wilson has had his check engine light on for several months. Ashley says, forever. Ashley's check engine light goes off and on, so pretty much it's her.
Oh.
It's like her car is having bipolar disorder and just doesn't want to really, deal with Ashley's crap.
It matters what kind of model and what year and stuff like that. I mean, if you know your car and you've had it for a while, I feel like you know when to take it in.
Oh, boy. Caitlin says a week. Check engine light on can be on for a week before you get it checked in. And Frank finally says, if it's blinking, you need to take it right away. So, yeah, the consensus is pretty much, hey, blink, take it in. Not so blinky. Then, have a good time. Have some ice cream and enjoy your car.
You're good to go.
All righty. Well, that is Ask Anything right here on the Anything Show. And if you have a question, actually, no, never mind. I will keep on putting out questions on my personal Facebook page. Follow me on Facebook personally at Jean Francois. That's J-O-N, last name F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. And oh my God, you got to stay tuned for next month, because the month of March, if someone answers the Ask Anything question, and it could be you, you have a chance to win a $100 gift card and an Anything Show shot glass and keychain. How does that sound, Maceo?
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. Woohoo. All right, great. So Jean Francois here with Maciel on the Anything Show. We are going to get to our viral videos of the week. Let's do it. It's Let's Get Viral. And just a reminder, coming up in less than 20 minutes, I'll be speaking with mental wellness coach Archie Messersmith Bunting. He's known as the feelings guy, Maciel. He's going to be talking about a very relevant topic during the COVID-19 pandemic. Obviously, we've been stuck at home. Our mental health has taken a toll. So we need a guy to set us straight. So that's coming up. That's coming up in 15 minutes or so right here on the Anything Show. Right now, let's get to our viral videos of the week. It's Let's Get Viral. Maciel, we got to start with this. It's probably going to get to a point where parents are going to be naming their kids after the pandemic. And this is what it might sound like.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Sichal. Sichal, that's a cool name. Did your parents give you an interesting middle name too? Yeah, a lot of people hate their middle names, but I actually think mine's really pretty. It's Distance. Distance? Social distance?
Yeah. Social distance. Social distancing. Social distance. You looked confused, Maciel. You didn't get it?
No. You know what's funny is I had a friend who was a teacher in Newark, and one of her kids was named Fermali, female.
Fermali, really? Like F-E-M-A-L-E, the spelling of female, but it was pronounced Fermali?
Fermali, yes.
Oh, Lord. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, this is where it's going to go. Hi, my name is Han Sanitizer for a COVID pandemic name. Yeah, my name is, what's another COVID thing? Oh, my name is Fase Maske for face mask.
Boy.
Yeah, it's going to be awful. Hey, Maciel, do you own a dog?
I have a cat, so I don't know if the dog would.
Okay, so since you have a cat and I have a dog. Wait, say that one more time.
I said that cat's enough. It's like a dog. So.
Okay. Well, since you have a cat and I have a dog, I am assigned to hate your guts. Because dog and cat owners, we're supposed to hate each other. We don't like each other. This woman posted a video of her husky saying no when she asked him to come inside. Take a listen.
Okay, for all you people wanting me to bring my dog inside.
Malachi, come inside. Come inside. Come on. Come inside. I can get in trouble for animal cruelty if you do not come inside. Come on. Malachi.
Yeah, so the dog is a husky. Huskies are known to love the snow, and this was a snowy day. So the husky is just like...
I don't know. They're so cute. I love a husky. They sing too, by the way. They sing.
Do they? oh my God, I wonder what that singing husky would sound like.
Oh, you can train him to sing. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Hey, there's a TikTok video right now. You know, you're on TikTok, Maciel. What's your TikTok handle, by the way?
It is Maciel
NH7. All righty. How do you spell that?
MaciselNH7. I'm on TikTok. Come visit me.
Okay.
I post a lot of fun stuff.
All righty. Well, you know what? While you're posting that fun stuff, maybe you saw this on TikTok, blowing people's minds right now. It actually reveals that the chance of rain in a weather forecast does not mean what we all thought it was.
I thought 100% that when they said that there's a 30% chance of rain, that it meant that there was a 30% chance that it was going to rain. I never, ever, ever knew that it meant that there's 100% it's going to rain, and it's going to be in 30% of your area.
Oh.
So in a way, there's a 30% chance that you're going to get rain, but it's going to rain. It's only going to cover 30% of the area. So like if it says 100%, it means your entire area that you're asking about, your zip code, whatever, like it's going to blanket the whole thing. Am I the only one who didn't know this till they were grown? Like, I found that out this year.
I also just found that out now. I literally thought when you
I
look
know,
at...
I was 6 years old when I found this out. Like, I'm like, what? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm looking at my weather app, and if it says, oh, there's a 30% chance of rain, I'm thinking, oh, okay, there's a 30% chance overall it's going to rain. But apparently there's a lot... But apparently there's a lot more headache-inducing science involved in this, Maciel.
Always.
This is why I'm glad I'm not in school anymore. Alrighty, this is not going to top the list of most heroic husband things, but it's not too shabby. Take a listen to this next viral video right here on the Anything Show. This is coming from the news, I believe.
A lot of clear snow nearly as quickly as it falls in the Columbia Shopping Center. One of the people making a quick dash inside, truck driver Tom Cavins.
My wife wanted some corn dogs for dinner, so dug the car out of snow to grab some corn dogs for her. The snow like this is nothing new to me, really.
Yeah, so this is like a death-inducing snowstorm, and this guy was just like, meh, you know, yeah, it's snowing cats and dogs, but my wife wanted corn dogs, so I guess I'm going to go and brave the storm and do what you got to do. Look, I mean, you're a woman, Maciel. I feel like women are a lot more passionate about food than men, and this is a pretty clear example.
I have no words. Like, I'm like, corn dogs? Like not a pint of ice cream? Like, I don't know, corn dogs. I wouldn't go out and snuff a corn dog. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Pint of ice cream, yes, but not corn dogs.
Yeah, pint of ice cream, yes. Corn dogs, no. I tasted corn dogs at the Iowa State Fair a couple years ago. You know, I don't see the craze. Yeah.
I don't get it either. I'm not a corn dog fan. Sorry, guys.
Something I'm also not crazy about is open relationships. If you have one, I respect that. I wouldn't do it myself. This woman actually got dumped from an open relationship. She posted a video on TikTok, Maciel, explaining why it's particularly humiliating.
Being dumped from an open relationship is so much worse than being dumped from a monogamous one, because it's not like we need to see other people. It's I need to see specifically not you. Again.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about that? I think she kind of has a point. Yeah, yeah, because, you know, yeah, I mean, at least with the, exactly, no words. Yeah, it takes a personal attack tone. So frankly, for all of you open relationship people hurting because your person who's with six other people broke up with you because you're just not as great as the five other people or six other people, you know, give me a hug. Yes, there is COVID going on right now, but give me a hug. Spit on me, lick me, do whatever you need to do to get through your tough time right now.
Wow. Yeah, no, wow.
Yeah, Maciel's just like, wait, John, what? Why are we spitting and licking each other? What the hell's going on?
Wow.
Yeah. And on that note, while the saliva is still drying up from all the spitting and licking, that is our Let's Get Viral segment on the Anything Show. If you have a viral video you want to share with me and Maciel, facebook.com/theanythingshow. You can also contact us on Instagram at anythingshowfrancois. That's at anythingshow, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. Hey, Jean-Francois here at the Big Heavy World Studios in Burlington, Vermont, filling in for Main Squeeze Mary this week while she's celebrating her mom's birthday. Maciel Hernandez, an awesome actress, TikTok and OnlyFans extraordinaire, and she's also the host of the Black Hole Sun podcast, where you can find anywhere you get your podcasts. All right, Maciel, shall we get to some celebrity gossip?
Yes.
Yay. All right, coming up after our celebrity gossip, I speak with mental wellness coach Archie, the feelings guy, Messersmith Bunting. We got to talk about that mental health, a very important conversation. Right now, we get to our celebrity gossip segment where we talk about the Hollywood elite and what they're doing crazily, starting with Minnesota Timberwolves star Anthony Edwards. Now, Maciel, Anthony Edwards, he was so fascinated by this Irish reporter's accent that he just had a hard time paying attention to his question.
So if you get a win tonight, that would breed confidence going into those next four games against teams in the similar spots beside you in the table.
Where are you from, Jim?
Ireland.
I like your accent. It's tough. Oh. I want to learn how to talk like that. But ask your question again. I was too much listening to your accent.
You know, I don't even think he had that strong of an Irish accent. Did you really detect that strong of an Irish accent in the reporter, Maciel?
I grew up in New Jersey, so I've heard a lot of Irish accents. So it's like, I guess we've never heard it. It's amazing, but it's just like, I had a best friend in college whose mom was from Dublin, and you'd hear her accent all the time. But I'm like, okay.
Oh my God.
I think he couldn't hear, he couldn't understand the person, and he was trying to like deviate from the actual.
Right, right.
You know, he was like, I don't know what they're saying, but I'm just going to compliment them on their accent. And
oh my God. Hey, are you into country music, Maciel?
No.
No. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I figured no one from New York. New York City doesn't seem like a very country music loving place. You come here to Vermont, you cannot pass by anybody who doesn't love country music, if that makes sense. Everybody loves country music in Vermont. Everybody.
Likes country music except New York, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So speaking of country music, Lauren Elena and John Party, they have a song right now, Getting Over Him, that's doing pretty hot in the country music scene. There is a line about dive bar kissing that you may have heard if you've heard the song. We were dive bar kissing, high-paced kissing, no string, Saturday night. Now, Laura Elena, she co-wrote the song, and dive bar kissing, I guess, means kissing a boy in a bar. But Lauren Elena has never actually kissed a boy in a bar. Maciel, as someone who is are you a straight woman? I don't want to assume. Are you straight?
Yes, I am straight. I've kissed boys in dive bars. That's an experience in life you gotta have.
Really? Okay. Because I was quick to... Well, please explain, because I'm quick to say, oh my God, kissing a boy in a bar, that must be disgusting, ladies. But you're saying, it's disgusting, but you say you have to live through the experience. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, especially dive bars in New York, they're disgusting. Like, you know, now, I don't know how much I'm older, so I don't go to bars anymore. But when I was younger, and you know, in the Lower East Side, we had so many different dive bars, yeah. And they're kind of disgusting. But you see somebody that's cute, you make out with them. But it's kind of gross.
I bet. And especially during these COVID times, the last thing you probably want to do. Wait, say that one more time. You cut out.
I said it's not sanitary at all. Like,
yeah.
Dive bars, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something that's also just so freaking dirty is the fact that Metallica, of course, the iconic band best known for this song. Yeah, exactly. Enter Sandman. You know that song. Now, Metallica, they actually played a concert on Twitch to kick off BlizzCon. Now, a lot of viewers did not actually get to hear Metallica perform their songs because of copyright infringement violation stuff. So instead, they saw or heard, rather, they heard some generic elevator music. This is what they heard. Yeah, it feels like the hold music on like a very annoying customer service call. What do you think, Maciel?
I would be really mad if I were like I love Metallica. I've loved Metallica since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Just to think that you go and you're like, yeah, I'm going to watch some real, like, and they put on a great concert too. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to watch Metallica. And then you get that. I'd probably throw the device across the room. And, like, what the hell, Switch?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those Metallica fans just crying themselves to sleep right now. What are you going to do?
I would be like, turn me river.
Alrighty. Well, that's our Let's Get Viral. No, I'm sorry. Got my segments confused. That's our celebrity gossip. Yay! If you have a piece of celebrity gossip, send that celebrity gossip our way at facebook.com/theanythingshow and on Instagram at anythingshowfrancois. That's at anythingshow, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. Hey, Maciel, our half hour is already up, and I wanted to dedicate like the last couple or so minutes to promote your stuff. Maciel Hernandez has been my guest co-host right here on The Anything Show. She is an actress, a TikTok and OnlyFans extraordinaire, the host of the Black Hole Sun podcast. Maciel, you have about 3 minutes. You think you can effectively promote yourself in that amount of time before we get to our interview? I mean, I'll give you the big wrap up sign on Skype just to let you know. But yeah, just give us all the good details. What do we need to know about you right now?
I'm on TikTok. I'm super proud of my podcast. It's a little different than yours. It's called the Black Hole Sun Podcast.
Yeah.
If you're a Gen Xer, you know the song from Soundgarden. You know, it's about weird and wacky stuff. I talk about aliens. I talk about crime. I talk about everything. I talk about, you know, it's just weird and wacky. So send me some questions. My last one was about the haunted.
Maciel, you're cutting out. I apologize, but just keep on talking, and hopefully something will happen.
Yes. Come check out my podcast, Black Hole Sun. Also, I'm on OnlyFans, where I have great content. I do, you know, sexy lingerie stuff, but also fun cosplay stuff. $10 a month. Good to see this beauty. And yeah. Keep it busy. I'm on social media. Hit me up. Maciel, M-A-S-S-I-L, at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So, thank you.
All right. So, for those of you that didn't hear, she's on social media at Maciel, M-A-S-S-I-E-L-N-H, at Maciel N-H. Yeah, Facebook, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Look her up. We have to get you back on the show sometime so we can hear you clearly. I'm gonna put you on a regular phone next time. We're gonna do that because the Skype is like, oh god, Skype does this. It becomes good when we rehearse the show, and then when we're on the air, it's like, oh. Yeah. All right. We're going to wrap up by playing the trailer from your Black Hole Sun podcast. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Maciel Hernandez. She's a multi-talented person. And right after we play the Black Hole Sun podcast trailer, we'll get to my conversation with Archie Messersmith Bunting, also known as the Feelings Guy. So thank you so much, Maciel.
Thank you.
Welcome to Black Hole Sun podcast. I'm your host, Moss. And this is the podcast about super unknowns, like spirituality, outer space, religion, astrology, sci-fi, mysticism, all the spooky, fun, weird stuff that we love to talk about. We'll talk about it here.
It's okay to not be okay. We spend so much time worried about our physical health, but our mental health is what's going to keep us going longer. Talking about depression, we're talking about true hopelessness. Like they just cannot find their way out of this in their head, because you also can't think your way out of depression. Take care of yourself. You can get wrapped up in someone else's problems so fast. But depression is not something that you can just go, oh, like I feel better today. So if you think that the first time you're going to try asking someone about if they're struggling with depression is when you're in the moment, that's not how this works. You got to flex that muscle.
Something I love about Archie is that he brings topics that are taboo to talk about and makes them relatable. And students lean in and they listen. And he creates this environment where students care and they're changed. and he allows students to feel seen and feel heard about topics that matter.
Hey, it's the Anything Show. Jean-Francois based here in Vermont and on the phone with me coming from Virginia, where he is iced in because pretty much the entire country is under some kind of winter weather madness. Archie Messersmith Bunting. He is known as the Feelings Guy. Archie is a mental wellness coach, consultant, and professional speaker. Archie, thank you so much for being on the Anything Show.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the waves from the phone will warm me up. It is an ice castle over here.
Yeah, I would imagine Virginia being down south, just like Texas, because, you know, at the time that we're recording this on Thursday, February 18th, it's just winter storm madness all across the country. And especially down south, you guys are not used to like the cold and ice and snowiness, whereas we here in Vermont, we just call it Thursday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I have a little, I mean, I did grow up in the deep south. I grew up in Alabama, but then I lived in New York City for almost a decade, and then I worked at a university in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have definitely been in places where I would, like, dig my car out of the snow, but, I mean, there's a difference in snow and ice, and I think kind of anywhere when, like, everything ice is over, you're just kind of stuck. But, yeah, in the Midwest and in New York City, we knew how to deal with it. Like, my friends in Texas, I mean, that's just another world. So, yeah, but I'm glad to be here, even regardless of what's happening outside.
Now, Archie, let's break down what you do in the mental health spectrum. So you help people discover how leading with their feelings can improve their quality of life and save the lives of those they come in contact with. And I really want you to just go in depth with that, because, you know, I guess one could argue that leaning into certain feelings may lead to actions that have consequences. So, you know, for example, is there such a thing as healthy feelings that we can lead with? Like, what are healthy feelings versus unhealthy feelings that are good to lead with, if that makes any sense? I don't know. That's a really twisted question, but yeah.
No, it's a great question. And if you allow me, let me correct some of that, because the way you just expressed it is the way that I think that we've been taught. A feeling isn't like negative or positive. It's a feeling. We assign meaning to it. Like a feeling is just your body's natural response to pay attention to something. We determine if that's, because think about it, the feeling of extreme excitement and the feeling of extreme fear can sometimes feel the same. Like the thing standing up on the back of your neck, your stomach getting all tight. Like there, if you really think about it, a lot of the feelings, the minutiae in your body are the same. But we assign a meaning to whatever that feeling might mean. So for me personally, first of all, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the way that you express it is the way that really we have like treated it in society. Like this is a bad feeling or this is a good feeling. No, it's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. So listen to the feeling. And so the whole point is just like listening to the feeling. And we as a society have been taught, and especially men, and I grew up in the deep south because I grew up in Alabama. Like, we just didn't do feelings. Like, that's just not a thing that we did. You're like, you walk it off or, like, you know, tough it out. And you're like, dude, that's stereotypical. Okay, stereotypes exist for a reason. Like, that was actually my life. So you may call it a stereotype. I call it my life. So for me personally, so I'm a recovering drug addict. I also am a human being that I don't say suffers from. I say thrive with. I thrive with clinical depression. So I've been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, and I thrive with that. I choose to excel still while having depression. I found that even after I pieced together time of not using the drug, and when I so for me personally, I take medication for my depression. I also talk about my feelings, and so even with that, like I was like I wasn't waking up happy, and I'm like, what the fork? Like I did not stop doing drugs to like have this like non-happy life. I realized that for me, kind of what was missing was listening and paying attention to my feelings, which on the regular is not something that we're taught. And this became super apparent to me in the beginning of the pandemic. Like in April or May, how many times did people say to you, "Hey man, how you doing?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding right now? Like how am I doing? Like, hey man, what's up? What's up? I'm stuck in my house." Like, what a stupid question is that? And so I challenge people, and in my work today, I challenge people to ask a question that matters. How are you today means nothing. That question literally means nothing. And the response we give means even less. "Hey, man, I'm good. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Good, man, good. Like, what just happened?" So instead say, "Hey, man, how are you feeling today? hey man, where's your head at today? Like those are questions that matter. And I believe firmly that if we begin to give people the opportunity to talk about their feelings, I do believe that we can save lives. This is early in the conversation to tell you this, but I'll just go ahead and disclose. I'm a suicide attempt survivor. And so I know firsthand what it feels like to be at the point of, like, I don't want to be here anymore, literally. Well, why would we ever think that someone who was hurting that badly, why would they choose that day to start talking about their feelings? That makes no sense to anyone ever. If we've given them no practice in actually talking about their feelings, we're like, well, people would reach out if they're hurting. Why would they? We've never asked them to. We've never given them permission to. So although I believe it's a very small, subtle change that we can all begin to make, I believe it will make a huge difference on society, in our friend and family groups, and for people that are hurting.
Mm. One thing that I've been learning in therapy, because I deal with anxiety and depression myself, is, when you have feelings, lean into them. Don't push them away, because that'll only make it worse. Lean into them, acknowledge them. But they don't define who you are. Like, there's a difference between experiencing your feelings, acknowledging them, and letting them guide your actions. So, it's always been a wonder ever since I got back into therapy and have been doing so these past few months. Like, how can you acknowledge your feelings without letting it guide your actions? Like, how are you able to have that control and discipline to say, okay, I'm feeling anger, or I'm feeling frustration, but I'm not going to let it consume me so much that I will punch a wall or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that also takes practice. I mean, practicing your feeling muscles is just like practicing any other muscle. But like in school, we learn about the four food groups. We learn about doing like sit-ups and push-ups. Why can't we start learning about how to live and to your very well-made point, lean into your feelings? So let me answer that question this way. So as somebody who used to use a lot of drugs, there are still times when I get triggered. I've been away from the drug for a long time now, but there are still times or situations or scenes in movies that I see that my brain will kick into thinking about that it would be a great idea to use drugs. Okay, here's the truth. Of course it does. I'm a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Like, of course my brain does that. But until I got to the point where I believed that, like, yeah, no, I don't know if this call is rated, but like, no shit. Of course I'm going to think about that. And just go, yep, I'm thinking about it. I'm not going to go do it. And we're going to move on. But old Archie would get all worked up. Like, why is this happening again? Why can't I stop this, you idiot? Like, I would start berating myself for something that, no crap. I mean, it's just like, so for those of you that are listening that were like, I don't get it because I'm not a drug addict. Okay, all of us in life have probably tried to lose weight at one time or another. That's probably a pretty normal thing for an adult. Okay, of course you're going to think about eating a cupcake or ice cream or cake when you're trying to lose weight, because that's the thing you're trying not to do. So of course your brain is going to think about it. So just in general in life, we need to start giving ourselves a lot more grace and like treating ourselves with a feather and not with a whip when our brains do things that like our brain is actually kind of programmed to do, and just go, yep, okay, this is a very uncomfortable feeling, but this is not going to define the rest of my day. Mm. And so that for me, that's how I do it.
Take me through your journey, Archie, because you were a successful musical theater performer in New York City before getting into the mental wellness field. Do I have that correct?
Yeah.
So I'm curious. How did you get from point A? You know, you have this successful musical theater career, and then suddenly addiction and clinical depression suddenly come into your life. Like, how do we get from point A to point B? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, let me give you the Reader's Digest version, because sure, I don't think you have time for a Lifetime movie tonight. So I was a very successful musical theater performer, as you pointed out, and then I became an even more successful drug addict. And it's actually pretty impossible to use drugs the way that I was using them and still be successful singing and dancing. So I became unemployable. I lost all the jobs, lost all the respect, lost all self-dignity, began using drugs intravenously. overdosed more times than I can count in words, eventually overdosing to the point that I woke up in ICU with a tube down my throat, and then just kind of, you know, hit the first bottom in the bottoms of my life, and fought like hell to stop using drugs and put some time together. And it's at that point that I sort of accidentally fell back into higher education. And I say back because when I was in school as an undergrad, I was very involved in student activities. But I didn't know that that was a thing that you could do, because my goal was to go to New York City, and I did that. Well, when I, you know, when that was no longer a path for me, I kind of fell back into higher education, and have been now in higher education either as a, you know, as a full-time person on the campus at a, you know, umbrella organization headquarters for almost going on 20 years now. And it was sort of during that time period that I really began to deal with some of my own stuff and realized that I had some undiagnosed mental illness that I, you know, wasn't taking care of. I ended up going back to rehab again late in life because I thought that, you know, well, I tackled the drug thing, so let me try alcohol because I'm sure I could do alcohol just fine. Okay, that didn't work either. So went back to rehab, and they got really honest about all the stuff that was going on in my head, got honest about the suicide attempts, got honest about the fact that sometimes I hear voices in my head, you know, things that you definitely should never say out loud, much less on a podcast. You know, just got really honest. And so then I sort of, someone said, hey, will you come speak at this thing? And so I did it. And then I realized that because my first passion and the first thing I was good at as a performer, and you put me on stage, and I'm talking in front of like thousands of people, I'm completely comfortable. So it was kind of a natural transition to begin being a speaker. And then I was kind of doing that always on the side. And then in 2020, I thought, let's start a business in 2020, because that makes a whole lot of sense. And it made sense in January until the world went sideways.
Yep.
But at least the thing that I'm speaking about, mental health, self-care, suicide prevention, how to take care of yourself, at least those are things that people need, unfortunately, desperately right now. You know, I was saying when we talked, I literally just wrapped up, I was speaking at a conference virtually. So I spend most nights now talking to my computer screen to support people, whether it's their companies, their teams, their employees, their sports teams, their churches, their schools, whatever, to try to help people understand all these feelings that they're feeling, because that's the thing that I'm an expert at today.
And I wonder, because you must get many people throughout this past year who are just like, oh my God, Archie, I'm losing my mind. I'm staying at home. I'm not working. Yeah. I can't leave the house. I have nowhere to go. Yeah. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling miserable about life. What do I do? I can't take it anymore. What do I do? Like, yeah. I wonder if there is something different that you say to each person in this manner, or is there sort of a common thread, script of sorts that you use for every single person going through COVID-19? Like, are we all going through something different? Are we all going through the same thing during this pandemic? Like, you know, take me through that.
Sure. So I think the answer is yes. I think that's the answer to all of those questions.
Yeah.
yes. Is it true that we have all experienced loss at the macro level? Absolutely. We absolutely have. I haven't spoken to anyone whose life looks exactly like what it looked like last February. No one. All of our lives look drastically different, some more than others. I mean, you know, I have definitely lost friends to the virus. I myself there for a while had to go get a job at a big box store because I literally wasn't making any money. And we have a mortgage payment, and like we have at that point, he was a 1-year-old. Like, it was scary. So we've all experienced loss and grief and anxiety and fear. And for a lot of us, we are experts at manipulating and consolidating our feelings. Okay, that goes out the window when you have the uncertainty of if when I go to the grocery store to buy milk, am I going to get something that kills me? Like, none of us have experienced like fear like that. So everyone is experiencing some of the same things, but obviously everyone's story is different. But I think the good news is that there are some things that universally people can try, regardless of where you are on that path or what your story looks like. And I think one of the biggest ones that I, two of the things I'll say that I do speak on regularly, that is a regular part of what I teach people. The first is called cognitive reframing, and I'm certain that in therapy you have heard of this or experienced it, maybe without even knowing that's what it's called. But the idea of cognitive reframing is you reframe your perception about your current reality. So notice I didn't say you change your reality, because right now we can't. Like, I can't make the vaccines happen any faster. I can't make what's happening in D.C. or anything around me happen any faster. I can't do anything about that. The only thing I can change is my perception of that. So especially in March or April, when everyone was literally living inside their apartments or houses 24 hours a day, and I would very often hear, I'm so sick of these walls. And I thought it as well at times, but I was very quick to stop it and go, you know what, I am so grateful that I have this place to live. When I got married and we had a kid, I didn't plan on being with them 24 hours a day. That was nowhere in the wedding vows. So, you know, most of us didn't plan to be around other humans all the time. So there were times when my 1-year-old was driving me bonkers, but I would say, I'm so grateful to have a child. I'm so grateful to have a child. I'm so grateful to have a child, because even doing that, my brain would hear it. So cognitive reframing is kind of a baseline in the therapeutic and addiction community, and it works in all scenarios, or can work in all scenarios. But I think in this situation, it's very, very helpful. Mm. The second thing, I believe, and I'm not going to go into the science because you would probably fall asleep, but there's a reason that I believe this. We've got to stop talking about the new normal. And I understand that is meant to bring comfort. I believe from my research and the science that I've read that for the brain, it does the exact opposite. So let me explain it this way really quickly for you or your listeners. So have you ever been to Disney World before or Disneyland?
Absolutely. Disney World back in 2000. Yes.
Okay, great. So if I say to you, hey, I can't wait to go to Disney World again.
Yeah.
Your brain begins to bring memories up of Disney World. True? Like, you begin to think about your trip and the castle. Yeah, that's the way the brain works.
Yeah.
Now, if I say, dude, I can't wait to go on vacation again. Like, your brain could go a multitude of places, like the beach, the Paris, or whatever. It's not a specific memory recall. When we say the new normal, the word normal is in there. Okay, what I'm living right now looks nothing like last February. Nothing. So my brain begins to search for, what is this new normal you're talking about? So I think that for the way the brain works, it's actually not very helpful. So I teach people just to say, I'm just living my life. Just living my life. Like, this is just life. Because life is, there's a lot routed in there. And again, you're like, dude, these are just such simple things. Well, they really are simple things. I didn't say they're easy, but they're simple. And so what people don't really understand is that your brain and your subconscious hear what you say. And so I know that this whole new normal concept is meant to be like positive, like it's a new thing, but it's the normal piece that for our brains, at least, I don't think is very helpful. So those are two of the things that I talk about and share pretty consistently with people when they're asking me how to deal with all the stuff that's coming at them. Mm.
You know, earlier you caught me with your thing about cognitive reframing.
Reframing.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's a difference between cognitive reframing and that classic silver lining approach where you have this negative thing in your life. Like, I'll give you an example. Oh, my God. You know, my computer is done. It was this $5,000 thing and it's broken. But hey, at least I have food on the table. Like, it could have been a lot worse. You know what I mean? Like that classic silver lining thing that's very dismissive of what is really a genuine feeling of just, yeah, it sucks that your computer is broken. I wonder if there's a difference between that approach, which can be seen as unhealthy by most therapists, and the cognitive reframing that you mentioned. So how is cognitive reframing? Explain how that can take a healthier turn, because I'm curious. I really am.
Yeah. Well, think that that's a great analogy. Like, but also those two things have nothing to do with each other. Like, you're also, I mean, so I'll be transparent here that, you know, to the humans that are listening, I had to wipe my computer down because of some malware.
Yeah.
And I got hacked, and this was very recent. Okay, there was no, that day when I realized that I was going to lose things that I had, you know, because if they weren't in the right folder, it was done. Like, and it didn't matter. Like, if we turned the computer back on, they were like, no, just, we have to literally delete everything and start over. Okay, there was no, like, but I got a donut. Like, that was not going to happen that day. So what, in situations like that, this is not about pretending you don't have feelings. So please don't hear that, people. Like, I was angry, I was sad, I was distressed, I was worried. Like, those are real feelings. Now, did I eat a donut? Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed that feeling, that feed your feelings exist. But I, over the next day or so, I learned to give myself some grace. I forgave myself for, you know, trusting someone that ended up, like, you know, putting malware on my computer, because I'm a human being and I make mistakes and I want to see the best in people. And then I also mourned. I mourned for the fact that, like, I'm losing time now. I have presentations coming up. People have booked me, you know, they have hired me to do a thing. I've got to go recreate things. So I was angry about that and also mourned it. But I can also, so all those feelings are real. But the cognitive reframing comes in and, you know what? People have hired me to do a job. I have the opportunity to go impact lives. I may be up all night tonight making sure this presentation is up, but, like, we have the capacity to get this laptop fixed. I have the capacity to drive to DC, which is the closest Apple store, so that they can fix it. I have the capacity to drive back the next day because they don't do anything in real time anymore with COVID. So there's a difference in, like, delusion and, you know, feeding your feelings. And then on the other side, listening, learning your feelings, but also right. Like, I think sometimes cognitive reframing can be boiled down to right sizing. Like, I'm right sizing this. But it was super effective in the beginning of the, like, I'm stuck in this house or I can't do this anymore. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. So, like, you know, find a way to make that right in your head. That was a great question, though.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I wonder, Archie, since you are in demand as the feelings guy, you know, you have all these. It seems like you are. It seems like you are. I wonder if this in-demand popularity that you have, does it produce, pressure within you? Do you get anxiety? Like, do you have to, you know, often take your own advice in these situations? Like, what's that?
I'm going to start calling you and I'm like, can you just say the part about again about being in demand and popular? Like, I'm just going to, like, call you on the days that I'm not feeling myself. but yes, I do. It's also, I have kind of adopted the role of a helper. So listen, I've got two degrees and they're not in therapy. I don't have a PhD and I'm not getting one. I didn't ever think growing up in the South, when I did, that I would ever be able to get married or have a child. And so I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm not going back to get another degree. I got my two degrees and I'm done. This is tonight was my fifth presentation for this week. And it's a lot because people reach out to me after every presentation. People reach out to me after they hear me on podcast and they want to talk and I show up for that. But that's a lot. And so I definitely have to work and to focus on taking care of myself. Because also taking on other people's stuff is still me taking it on. Mm. There are definitely times when I feel like that I'm not good enough. Like my brain feels like, why are you the one talking? And I have to remind myself that, like, people resonate and this is what I believe I was put on this earth to do. But yeah, man, you know, I don't anymore now. Like, two presentations a day is about my max. There in the beginning, you know, especially when we didn't have any, we're still very in debt, but not as in debt as we were. Because there was literally like a four and a half, five month period when I didn't make a penny. So I would take like four presentations a day. Dude, I was wrecked. Talking about mental health and addiction five times a day.
Wow.
So yeah, I have to take my own advice at times, which is much easier for me to help somebody else than to help myself. But I definitely do.
All righty. Well, it's Archie Messersmith Bunting. I love your name, by the way. Archie Messersmith Bunting. What is that last name? Is that like Polish, Scottish? I don't even know what that is, but it's a really...
So, you know, when you... We decided that we would hyphenate our names because, you know, gay people were going to be extra. So we decided to hyphenate it. So Messersmith is my name. It's German. And then I don't really know what Bunting is. But you know, our son now has the longest name. His name is never going to fit in the SAT bubbles, because there's just too many letters. But yeah, there we go.
Alrighty. Well, there you go. Shout out to your son for an etiquettely long name in general. Yeah. Alrighty. Archie Messersmith Bunting, the feelings guy, mental wellness coach, consultant, and professional speaker. Let us know how we can find you, Archie, on social. You know, when's your next meeting? Like, how can we keep in touch with you?
Yeah. So the easiest place, just go to my website, which is Archie Cares. So everything is listed there. But I probably am most active on Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Archie_Cares. I'll just tell you, though, that if you don't want to see daily posts about mental health, self-care, and then one of the cutest kids in the world, then you should not follow me, because that's what you're gonna see there.
Okay. All right, giving us a proper heads up, Archie. I like that.
Yep.
All right, hey Archie, I appreciate you coming on the Anything Show, and let's hope that we will find a light at the end of the COVID tunnel soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Listen to The Anything Show with John Francois on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
How does John know how to set up podcasts? Is he that?
No, he can't be that smart. Follow on Facebook at The Anything Show and on Instagram at Anything Show Francois. Did you get all that?